In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm getting better at all this, you know. I got to get the mic on, take the mask off, all the things switching, you know, things in my pocket. Yeah. The world we live in these days. As we stand here this morning, though, in the midst of this Sunday's following Epiphany, this Sunday is known as the baptism of our Lord. Epiphany is a time, and you'll notice within our readings, what we see is these revelations, theophanies, so to speak, that when God has broken into the world, and we will recognize different instances within Scripture where that happens with our reading. Today it happens to be when Jesus is essentially anointed at his baptism and called out to be the Son of God. And I thought, what a really wonderful opportunity for us to think about our own baptisms and that which we've received and those who are planning to receive baptism. What is it really about for us? And sometimes, to be honest, I think we get it wrong. I think sometimes we don't accept the fullness of it. And I would also say, and I'll take this as the perceived spiritual leader of faith communities, I think sometimes we don't tell people enough about it. And the church isn't really fully aware of why we are baptized and what it looks like to be baptized. And so I reflect on these first couple verses. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus. This is out of Acts, by the way, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" Now, these were people who considered themselves fully involved in the church. They were in this movement of the way, in this first century understanding of following Jesus. And they replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Now, this wasn't their fault, was it? The reality is Apollos, who they knew, who had been there in Ephesus before, he himself had not yet heard the fullness of what was happening and what was available to those who have chosen to follow Jesus, then that primary thing being the power of the Holy Spirit that would indwell them. And then Paul asks this question, he goes, then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And I think we've, today, can reflect on that. So that's a question, you know, how were you baptized? Where you were baptized? This sort of concept in some places still matters. What matters to us as Episcopalians are you baptized? If you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are good with that. It doesn't matter what denomination it happened in. All baptized Christians, because we understand baptism from the concept of this is how you enter into the body of Christ, the church. And that is also the time, brothers and sisters, in which you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what the church teaches you in the process and how we learn to engage that and live into it, that can vary, amen? And it can vary at such a level that a young woman came to me. She was in her late teens at the time. She had been in the church her entire life, a different denomination. And she came to me, and she asked me a very simple question. She had got to that age where she wanted to go find things. So she was looking and attending different churches outside of the denomination she was raised in. And she came to me and she said, "Do you teach about the Holy Spirit in your church?" And I said, "Yes, absolutely. Without the power of the Spirit, the church can't move, amen?" And she was surprised. She's like, "I've been in the church my whole life, and nobody's ever taught me anything about the Holy Spirit." Not a new thing, is it? The question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And Paul's like, "Well, then what were you baptized into?" And people have asked me questions like that, and I thought to myself, into the church? And what I realized is they wanted me to respond with, "Oh, I was baptized into Roman Catholic tradition." Now, I was baptized into the church. It just happened to be in Roman Catholic Church when I was a month old. And I have engaged with other denominations where even after that, after many years of being a baptized Christian, and not as many realizing the fullness of the Spirit which I received at that time, there are other places within the church, if I was to leave all of this and go there, they would want me to get baptized in their tradition. Brothers and sisters, I don't see that as necessary. I have been to occasions when people have been rebaptized, but you know, in my understanding, in our theology and in seminary, when we spoke of this, we just said, well, they didn't really get rebaptized, they just got wet. They were already baptized. And we take this rather seriously in our tradition. So at the time of baptism, there is a moment after the water is put over the head. We will take oil, the chrism oil, and we will anoint the person. And we said, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Now, from that point forward, it's the job of the church to help this new member of the church understand the fullness of what it means to be living in the power of the Spirit of God. And that becomes a responsibility to all of us. And even within our baptismal service, the congregation is asked, will you support these persons? And everybody very excitedly says, I will. We do it with all sorts of things. And then people will come to me and say, what happened to that person that was baptized or confirmed? I said, I don't know. Why don't you call them? You should track them down. We said we were going to help them. I don't know if this has happened to you at this point in your life, but it certainly has to me. There was a point in my life when I didn't want to go to church. Not just like this morning when it was so cold and I had to get out of bed, but other times when I just really didn't want to go or didn't feel like I should be there. And someone, and very faithful people within my family for years, because it took me a while, kept saying to me, you should come to church with us. You should come to church with us. And finally, by God's moving and some prodding from my lovely bride, we went to church. And I discovered all that I had received at a month old a few years ago was still true. See, we have received everything we need, amen? As we are baptized into the church and sealed as Christ's own forever, it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit moving in us. That's what makes it happen. It's not what we make happen. It's not what the church can make happen. It's a decision we've made to let God be God in our lives. And I would say there's no better time for it. And we are baptized into the body of Christ. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we are given the opportunity to live in that spirit. Amen? And that is not a spirit of cowardliness and silence. It's a boldness. You heard it in our collect today. We are to be bold in the power of God. We are to be bold for Him. We are to be bold in this world that needs God so desperately. And we should move in that way. Amen? Now, this has been an exceptional week. I hope. Not just because I worked from home for a week, which I just am not good at. You'd think it would be a better choice. I don't know how those of you who have been working at home for so long, my wife being one of them, I don't know how you do it. By the end of the week, I was losing it. I have to move. I have to get out. But if I don't have that opportunity, then I don't feel like doing that. Now, thankfully, I live with someone who knows me well, so she was just shove me out the door in the evenings or early afternoon and say, let's go for a walk. Otherwise, I'm just going to fold into the couch. And I can be there for a long time. So one of those days, late in the afternoon, I folded into the couch and said, well, let me see what's happening on the news. Oh, my goodness. Lord Almighty. I was horrified. And it's not often that I find myself being helpless and without hope. But for a moment, as I watched the images on the news, that's what I felt. I wept, sitting on my couch. And at that point was thankful my wife was still diligently working in her office at the other end of the room. And I thought, what has happened? What has happened? And I felt like, what? There's nothing I can do. All I could think of is, why isn't somebody standing on those steps saying, we have to stop? Your politics in this don't matter, by the way. Everyone should have their thoughts, their ideas, and their worldview, and that's the beauty of being an Episcopalian. You're welcome to it. But there's one other thing, brothers and sisters, we have to remember. There's other responses. I made a second mistake that day because I was already spiraling. My second mistake is I went and started going through social media, something I gave up almost 5 years ago. I see everybody going like this. I said, you're right. Yeah, I should have stuck with that fast that's gone almost 5 years. The only reason I even have access to it now is because, well, that's where we existed for a number of months, and half of us still exist there now. And so I went and I thought, well, this could be interesting. Let me look. It wasn't interesting. It again was horrifying. This may come as a shock to you, but my friends on Facebook, and don't be offended if I haven't added you, I haven't added anybody in 5 years. So all of you are safe. I haven't seen your posts. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of my friends are Christians. And that is not what I saw. We suddenly live in a world where you can choose either this or that. And that is not living in the Spirit of God. See, there is more than two choices. There are three. Amen? The third choice is Jesus Christ. Each of us who have been baptized into his body, those of us who are seeking to be a part of his body, have made another choice. We have chosen to live in the Spirit of God. And I have to tell you, I'm having a hard time doing it, and I'm having a hard time finding evidence of it at this moment. And I know I sound a little upset, but I want you to understand that I'm trying to be encouraging because I did find encouragement. I did find encouragement, and I found it in my frustration. And in my frustration, I finally sat down and said, well, let's work on the sermon because this is going to take longer. Not the sermon itself, although it may. And I opened up to this passage. I opened up to this passage, and God spoke. And he spoke to me very, very clearly. And he said, baptized into what? Baptized into the Spirit of God. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. It took me a while to figure it out. I received it when I was a month old. In my baptism, I received the power of the Spirit when hands were laid on me within the church. And it took me a long time to live into it. And unfortunately for some, I live into it now. I forget on occasion. But most of the time, I live into it. And I want you to be encouraged. And this is where most people in the Episcopal Church look at me and they're like, Brian, whoa, settle down. Brothers and sisters, I won't. We have been settled so long and sat in the same pew so long. That's the beauty of the pandemic. You don't know where you're sitting, do you? Well, that place that had been formed to your seat over the last how many years? I don't know who's sitting on it now, but it's probably not you. I see some of you are finding your way back to your spot. But the fact of the matter is, for a while, you just got to sit wherever you got to sit. Thanks be to God, because brothers and sisters, we need to get shaken up. We need to get brought to life. We need to be living into the very Spirit of God that indwells us, because if this world doesn't begin to understand the third choice of following Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, where will we be? Where will we be? And I know we get nervous about this Holy Spirit thing. It used to make me nervous too. I'd see those people filled with the Holy Spirit and they did some really weird stuff. They did. And then I was curious, and I'm thinking, well, I'm okay with that. I believe Holy Spirit. If that's how it works in that person, then who am I to discern or to judge? And this is where the church gets nervous. I'm not a good Episcopalian when it comes to standing before you on these moments. And I have been on more than one occasion. It's been suggested perhaps I was more of a Baptist preacher. And I'd say to you today, I want to be more Pentecostal today, brothers and sisters, because I want you to know that the very power of God indwells you for a reason. It's not for your own well-being, although it is helpful for that. It is so that you can do the things that God has called you to do. And brothers and sisters, that is almost never to sit quietly in a pew on Sunday morning. I think God calls us to worship, and I'm thankful for that, but I think he has more. And when it comes to the way our world is going, it's either this side or that side. I'm telling you, there's a third choice, and the power to live into it is yours. You can choose the world, or you can choose the Lord. We go further into this passage. And when they heard from Paul, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Uh-oh. Well, we don't want any of that happening here. Or do we? I've seen it happen. It happens here more than you know. But I have to tell you, we get a little nervous about that, don't we? I'm not going to take a poll. But it's a little off-putting sometimes, isn't it? We're not sure what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I don't know how the Holy Spirit's going to manifest in you, and I don't know how you're going to respond to it. I know the Holy Spirit is present. That's what I know. How did the Holy Spirit manifest this day on these people? They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Well, we can get into the whole conversation of tongues where most people are now going to, they're clicking off online, and I don't want to hear about him talking about tongues. And I said, that's fine. We don't have to talk about it here. I get it makes people uncomfortable. But I do want to talk about this concept of how they prophesied. Now, most of us hear that and we think, well, somebody is foretelling the future. Amen? I mean, that is kind of what the church has told us, but that's really not the truth of it. It's another one of those words that has a much more simple definition, although we don't really take the time. And as you know, I have a habit of looking up very common words to see what they really mean. Because sometimes in society, we will give a word a meaning that isn't really what the word means. Amen? I mean, kids do it. We did it when we were kids. But sometimes these words prophesied and people go, whoa. Somebody calls himself a prophet and we're immediately going, okay. But what did Merriam-Webster say about it? To utter by or as if by divine inspiration. You can all take a sigh of relief now. Because that doesn't sound so bad, does it? This is what happened to those who received the power of the Holy Spirit. They began to utter by or as if they were affected by divine inspiration. I don't know how many of you watched what happened in this world last week. Not that last week was an exception, was it? The moment was exceptional, we can admit that. But the behavior is not exceptional. We have seen it, and we have seen it increase. Amen? And we have seen the churches emptied in the midst of a pandemic. We have seen many things come before us that have potentially hindered our opportunity to be the church. Amen? But I have to tell you here, we keep pushing to do more and to be more. And I would say to you on this day, when we reflect on the concept of baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, I will ask you, how many of you in this past week took some time and prayed for divine intervention? Amen? Yeah, maybe like me, you sat weeping and begging God to do something. But I don't know if he responded to you the way he responded to me, as I was begging God to do something, which I should have figured out not to do by now. Because every time I do that, I get this message back, yeah, Brian, do something. So that's what you're stuck with this morning, me doing something. I want to say to you, you have the power within you, given by God, to speak into this world. And we see evidence of it in Acts today. Those who received the power of the Holy Spirit, all who have received, that's most, all who have been baptized, guaranteed, don't have to be baptized to have the Holy Spirit. That's in here too. The fact of the matter is, we have been given an opportunity to use the voice that God has placed inside of us, and we have the opportunity to speak. So if we are praying for divine intervention, and if you, like me, have been praying to God to do something, maybe he has said to you, please, do something. God is ready to do something right now. Here's the other truth. He's going to do it through you. Through the power of his Spirit, he will move through his church. Amen? So, brothers and sisters, if we are praying for divine intervention, if divine intervention is what it's going to take, and it is, to bring this world to a place of peace, love, forgiveness, unconditional love and acceptance of others, the full truth of the gospel, if it's going to happen in the world, it's got to start here. And if you've been praying for divine intervention, the church, if we are going to see the divine intervention of God, then we, the church, must speak and act with divine inspiration. Amen.